A Bookshop Full of Secrets by Claire R. Underwood. Read by Claire R. Underwood. Here we go. Chapter 1. The Promise We Couldn't Keep. You cannot be serious. Iris Marlowe pressed her palm flat against the cookery book's spine. The leather warm from the morning sun that slanted through the shop's front window. Dead serious, Lily. The Complete Art of Country Baking by Amelia Wainwright. First edition, 1912. Agatha promised it to me last Tuesday, and I'm not letting it slip through my fingers because you've got a sudden allergy to anything without a cappuccino machine attached. Her sister leaned against the stockroom doorframe, arms crossed, auburn curls escaping their bun in every direction. Flour dusted her left cheekbone. She'd been testing scones before the shop opened. It's not an allergy. It's called having a vision. People don't come to Coddington on Y for dusty old cookbooks they can't even use. They do if they're collectors. Two collectors, Iris. Maybe three. Lily pushed off the frame and stepped closer, her voice dropping into the tone that meant she'd been rehearsing this argument. The cafe space would bring in foot traffic every single day. Tourists doing the Cotswold walk. Mums after school drop-off. The WI after their Tuesday meetings. You'd still have your precious rare books in the back, just with actual revenue supporting them. Iris tucked the carpenter's pencil more firmly behind her ear and slid the cookbook off the counter. The shop has been here 47 years, Lily. Mum and Dad kept it afloat without flat whites and artisan toast. Mum and Dad also had a second income from Dad's consulting work, and you know it. Lily's freckled nose crinkled. The mortgage renewal is in September. You show me the numbers. She had, unfortunately, shown Lily the numbers. That was the problem with a sister who could do spreadsheets in her head while simultaneously icing a Victoria sponge. She remembered everything, and she used it like ammunition. September is 3 months away, Iris said, and Agatha's book is worth at least 800, maybe more if the binding's in good shape. That buys us time. Time for what? Time to find another rare book. Or two. Or a whole estate sale. Iris adjusted her glasses, which had slid down her nose again. The smudge on the left lens was driving her mad, but she'd forgotten her cleaning cloth at home. Agatha promised me first refusal. She said she wanted it to go to someone who'd appreciate the history, not some dealer who'd slab it in plastic and stick it on eBay. The bell above the shop door chimed, saving Lily from whatever retort was forming on her lips. Iris slipped past her sister into the main room, the cookbook still tucked under her arm. Penny Whitby stood at the counter, resplendent in a scarf printed with bright blue hummingbirds and a smear of glitter across her right cheekbone that caught the light like a tiny disco ball. Her notebook was already in hand, pen poised. Iris, darling, you'll never guess. Penny's voice carried the particular urgency of someone who intercepted a piece of news before anyone else. I saw Agatha Pemberton on the green yesterday evening, and she looked dreadfully spectral, pale as parchment, shuffling along like she'd forgotten how her legs worked. I called out to her and she didn't even turn her head. Lily emerged from the stockroom brushing flour off her apron. Maybe she didn't hear you. She heard me. I said her name three times. Penny lowered her voice, though the shop was empty except for the three of them. And Fiona Pemberton was at the surgery yesterday afternoon. I saw her coming out of Dr. Bristow's office just before four. And she was crying, girls. Actual tears behind those enormous sunglasses she always wears. Iris set the cookbook on the counter. Fiona cries at Waitrose commercials, Penny. You told me that yourself. Yes, but this was different. This was the kind of crying you do when something's really wrong. She didn't even stop to talk to Marjorie Dunn, and you know how those two usually natter on the pavement for 20 minutes. Marjorie Dunn. Their neighbor on Willow Lane, two cottages down from Agatha's. The woman who wanted Agatha's back garden strip so badly she'd offered to buy it three times in the past year, according to Penny's grapevine. Iris's fingers tapped against the cookbook's cover. Maybe I should pop round to Agatha's this morning. Confirm the sale, get the book properly inventoried. I thought you were helping me test the lemon drizzle recipe at 10, Lily said. The lemon drizzle can wait. This can't. Iris grabbed her handbag from behind the counter and slid the cookbook into it. I'll be back in an hour. Don't sell anything valuable while I'm gone. Lily made a sound somewhere between a sigh and a laugh. The most valuable thing in here is your attitude, and that's not for sale. Willow Lane curved away from the village green like a gray ribbon drop between stone cottages. Honeysuckle climbed over a trellis at number 3, and a tabby cat sunned itself on the wall outside number 5. But number 7, Agatha's cottage, stood quiet, too quiet. No smoke from the chimney, though the morning had a nip to it. No movement behind the lace curtains.